God's blessings to you as we look at the scripture readings for this coming Sunday for February 25th of 2024. Sorry, I'm running a little late this week. We had something come up that I needed to be out of town for some days this week, and so I'll try to get as much up as I can and get back to normal for future weeks too. But the Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 15 through 19. And in this reading, God renews his covenant promises to Abram, originally that he had given to him in Genesis chapter 12 many years before, and then repeated since then several times as you read through Genesis 12 all the way through 22, 23, and then even beyond that in the promises of the coming Savior. But God promises blessings to Abram and to his offspring, that they will have blessings in the land of Canaan in the future. But God also now changes Abram's name to Abraham, which means not only the blessed father, but now the father of many nations, as the promise now of God goes beyond simply Israel, but it's a promise to a multitude of nations and kings and an everlasting covenant that God would make, which would ultimately be in Christ our Lord and Savior. God also changes Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess, and says again that she and Abraham will have a child to be named Isaac. And the name Isaac means he laughs. And Abraham actually laughed at this, we hear in this passage from Genesis 17. He and his wife were he was about 99 years old, and his wife was well beyond childbearing age. But God says it's still going to happen, and that the child of promise would not be Ishmael, a son he'd had in the wrong kind of way according to God's plan earlier, but his son would be Isaac. Sometimes people do laugh at God and his promises. They just don't seem like they're possible, or they struggle with those things. And Abram had his weaknesses too, although he could be very strong, as we heard a few weeks ago, when he was willing to, if the Lord wanted, to sacrifice his own son. Of course, God didn't want that, and that stopped. And that, too, was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus in the future. Well, the gospel lesson is for this week is from Mark 8, 27 to 38, and it's about Peter. And we've already heard these things at times in recent weeks, that Peter makes a great confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ. And that word Christ again means the promised Messiah, the anointed one of God. Quickly, though, Peter struggles and tries to rebuke Jesus when Jesus starts talking about suffering and dying. That was not the vision of the Messiah that Peter had in mind. So Jesus, in return, has to rebuke Peter, saying that Peter was following Satan if he's going to try to block God's saving plan, which did involve Jesus losing his life for the sake of the saving gospel. And so what follows then is really a prophecy of what Christ above all would do, sacrificing himself, dying on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And then Jesus calls Peter and all of us not to be ashamed of Jesus and his words, and even to the weakness of his suffering and death for us, that's actually victory for us. And not to be ashamed of Jesus in an evil and an adulterous nation, Jesus says, which is a reminder that though we complain about how bad things are in our world today, and they certainly are, even at the time of Christ, and certainly before that in the Old Testament, the world has always been very evil ever since the fall into sin, and sin spreading really to everybody in the world, the scriptures say. So the world was very evil back then too, even during the time of Christ, even as it is now. And what that kind of reminds us of is we don't have to despair, even though things look so bad so often, and so much crime and so many problems and troubles in the economy, and on we could go. It is an evil and an adulterous nation and a world very troubled. Yet there's always hope in our Lord. And that's what we hear in our epistle lesson, which is from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. And as Peter and Abraham struggled at times, even as people who were hanging on to faith in the Lord, they had trouble to trust God's plan and will. So we all do, our epistle lesson says. That's a struggle for us all at times. And we hear this in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, our epistle lesson. Christ died for us and for the world, this passage says, not when we were perfectly strong in faith and understanding, where we were very, very godly, but actually, this passage says, it was when we were weak, ungodly, sinners, and enemies of God. And that's really how all of us start off, separated from God, and need that new birth and new life that can only come for us in and through Christ and what he did for us. And so we were justified, counted right with God, and forgiven by Christ's bloody suffering. He talks about by his blood. And of course, that suffering that happened for us on the cross, so that the wrath of God could be taken away from us, and that we could be reconciled to God. And all of that happened at the cross, where Jesus suffered and died in our place. And the wrath of God came upon him instead of us to pay for all of our sins. And then we are also saved through his life, through his perfect life that he lived for us, the way we should live, but what Jesus did for us, and our credit for that, what he did, and then his mighty resurrection from the dead on what we call Easter Sunday. Through his death and his life, now we have life and are saved for eternal life through him. And so we now rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as this passage says. And the opening verses of Romans 5 also say that through Christ, we have peace with God, access to God. We can talk with God in prayer and know that he hears us and doesn't do always what we want, but is working for our good, and we have access to his grace, that undeserved love and favor that comes to us through Jesus. And even if we suffer, as we will in this life, in this world, suffer at times, the Lord produces endurance, character, and hope in us through the things that we go through. That can be a growing process for us also. Through God's love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. And the Spirit continues to work in us through the Word of God, the gift of our baptism, and the blessings of the Lord's Supper as well. Well, Psalm 22 then, verses 22 to 31, the psalm for this day. Not all churches use it, but it's worth looking at on your own. The second half of Psalm 22 reminds us that God would do his saving work through us, or not through us, but for us through Christ. And that it's not just to get us off punishment for our sins and for an eternal future, although that does happen. He did do that suffering and death and resurrection for us, as verses 1 to 21 of Psalm 22 tell us. Predicted, in fact, in those opening parts of Psalm 22, many parts of his suffering and death for us. That's not part of today's reading, but you could read those also. And we'll hear a lot more about that in Holy Week and on Good Friday, where Jesus did all the things described and had them happen to him in Psalm 22 as he suffered and died for us. And we are also saved by God's grace, not just to get off eternal punishment, but so that we can now in this life serve our Lord and follow him and tell others about God's grace in the great congregation. He mentions that twice, in the congregation, in the great congregation. And that means as we gather with others to worship together and speak and sing God's word together and praise our Lord. Again, I know some of you cannot get out and do that, but you can certainly as much as possible do those things on your own and praise our Lord. And that's why a lot of our worship service, at least in our Lutheran churches, is simply scripture, speaking scripture to one another, to encourage one another and remember God's promises. And then we also seek to tell of the Lord to the families of the nations. The second half of Psalm 22 says, in other words, it's good news for everyone in the world because Christ died for all. This passage also says that, again, in thanks and praise to God for what he's done for us, we can tell our children and others in coming generations, this passage says, and even to a people yet unborn, to let everyone possible know of Jesus through what we can say and do and our prayers and helping missionaries and just whatever we can do, our school, if we have a school, or our church. We also have in this passage a confession that we can't keep ourselves alive now and forever on our own or in anything we can do, but it's Christ Jesus, as the very end of this psalm says, has done it. He's done it all for us as our Savior, as we just trust in him. And then our hearts may live forever, this passage says, through Christ and through what he's done for us. And that gives us a very hopeful and strong future in Jesus, our Savior. Even though we are sinners, Christ has done all of this for us, and that's our hope in what we seek to let others know too. It can be the same thing for them too, in Christ our Savior. Well, the Lord's blessings to you as you look at these scripture readings, hopefully on your own, and then if you are able to go to worship this coming weekend and hear more about these things in services too. And again, if you can't do that or don't have those opportunities, as is true for many who listen to this, I know, then do what studying you can on your own also, and God's promises to each of you that are here in these scriptures about the reality of our struggles, but the hope we have in Jesus. Well, the Lord's blessings to you all.